Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
It is a tragic, tragic day, not just in America, but across the world, as we can all identify as parents with the loss of a young child. 27 school shootings in the US, by the way, since 2022, over 140 dead. And this particular occasion as well in Texas, 19 children dead, two adults in the attack on Robb Elementary School. Joe Biden, for the second time in less than 2 weeks, because the last time, of course, was the supermarket, where a lot of people were shot in that racist, horrific racist attack. It was actually horrific to watch. Somebody sent me a clip, and I don't know why they did it. They sent it to me on WhatsApp, and I opened it. You can't unsee something like that. It was like a scene. It was like these kids are watching Call of Duty or something, and this is, it's just, they can't separate real life. Anyway, President Joe Biden on Tuesday tried to console the nation reeling from another mass shooting, demanding action on gun control and, of course, the Second Amendment in the United States, which has always been controversial. But to speak to me a little bit more about that is, and what happened, is Larry Donnelly, who's a law lecturer at NUI Galway and political columnist at thejournal.ie. Good afternoon to you, Larry.
Good afternoon, Niall.
Larry, I mean, as a parent of three children, I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to get a call from a school principal to say your child, your five-year-old, your seven-year-old has just been shot dead by an 18-year-old with a gun. I mean, it just doesn't enter into it, because it doesn't enter into our thinking here in Ireland.
And no, it's unfathomable at every level imaginable. And I suppose what makes it in some ways even more unfathomable, Niall, is the reality is that this, the young children who were killed, but they were killed by an 18-year-old boy. I know legally you're supposed to be a man, but he's a boy. And the fact that his objective when he turned 18 was to go out and buy two, you know, hugely powerful weapons like
that. Which he boasted about on social media.
Yeah.
We've seen those photographs of them. He has them on his bedroom floor.
Yeah. And I mean, what does that say culturally and otherwise? And again, now you mentioned the shooting in Buffalo. That also was carried out by an 18-year-old boy. What does it say about the culture and about the society that 18-year-olds are so filled with venomous rage and hatred that they go out and kill people? One of them was motivated by racism. But this individual, I don't know what, he shot his own grandmother, for God's sake.
I believe she survived, although the poor woman probably wishes she was dead at this stage. I believe she survived and she's in hospital. I mean, similar, as you mentioned, the recent shooting as well, but this is the second biggest mass shooting in a school since Sandy Hook. Of course, there was 29 children killed in Sandy Hook. And again, there was no real motivation there apart from religious, possibly, at some point. But in saying that, I don't know what motivates them, and I racked my brain all last night. And when this news came in last night, I seen it coming up on my phone on Sky News, and I mentioned it on the air, and I said, I bet you it was an 18-year-old. And it was, and it's always an 18-year-old or something in and around that, a young man, you know, between the age of 17 and 25. And you're right, there's no motivation. I start thinking, is it video games? Is it the way they're brought up? But it all comes back to one thing, the availability of guns, doesn't it?
Absolutely. This is really what quite frankly disgusts me is that we have instances like this and we hear politicians laying the blame everywhere else. You know, the blame, undiagnosed mental health issues.
Ritalin gets the blame.
Yeah. Even more perversely, the idea that if we had more guns and more security, then we wouldn't have as many mass shootings. They blame everything else except for the reality that access to guns in the United States and to high-powered weaponry is far too easy. Of course, around the world, people have mental health issues. Of course, young people are troubled. There are lost souls out there. But there's no real mass shootings elsewhere because these individuals can't get access to guns. That is the bottom line. And the fact that politicians are willfully blind to it and so in hoc to the National Rifle Association and the gun lobby is disgusting. It's indefensible. And here we are now. We'll have this conversation today. And what will happen? Nothing. Memories will fade. Things will go back to normal. Then we'll have another mass shooting. Then we'll have the conversation again. People like me will speculate as to whether political action will happen.
Let's look at the political action. And, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Joe Biden in the world, but I listened to him on the news there and I couldn't agree with him more. And maybe he is the man to do it. Many presidents have attempted this. Nearly every president, by the way, has attempted to get involved in the gun lobby and go against the NRA on many occasions, who, by the way, will blame the NRA, even the president himself, blamed Ritlin many, many years ago as well. There is a connection, but it's a very small connection. That still doesn't give us a reason as to why somebody picks up a gun and shoots somebody. And Joe Biden has it right. You know, the only reason you have a gun is to kill somebody. I mean, what other reason would you want a gun for? I suppose you want to go to a shooting range or something like that for marksmanship or hunting. But generally speaking, your average Joe only has a gun to kill somebody, defend themselves, kill somebody. So what can a president actually do? Because every president who's tried to do this, it's poisonous. Because they just have so many people, particularly Republicans, against them.
Yeah, it's very, very hard to move the needle. Now, there is gun control legislation with some modest provisions. That is, waiting period, background checks, things that are backed overwhelmingly by the American people. That legislation has passed the United States House of Representatives, but it has stalled in the United States Senate. The reason for that is in the United States Senate because of its labyrinthine rules, to get things done, you need 60 votes, basically a supermajority to get things over the line. They don't have 60 votes. The question becomes, could this push a couple of lawmakers into that category? My suspicion, however, is that it won't, and the status quo will prevail, and Joe Biden won't be able to get anything done. Remember, Biden and Obama had Democratic majorities. They couldn't get much done on the gun issue. So it's an intractable problem, and that's why I really despair.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously appealing to the lawmakers to stand up to the gun makers and the lobbyists who said that, you know, they're basically a prevented common sense gun laws. But you would know more about American politics than I do. When it comes to making laws with regards to guns, the Second Amendment, I'm sure similar to our own Constitution, protects the American people and their rights to purchase a gun and walk into Walmart and get one. And when I'm over there in Florida on a regular basis, I see these aisles and aisles of ammunition, and I'm literally picking them up and look at them because it's a novelty factor to me, of course, because I don't see ammunition in a shop in Ireland. But it that literally you can walk in and buy a gun. If you're a citizen, of course, that you have that right under the Second Amendment. So how can they change the laws? Could they, for example, bring in a law that, yes, you can buy a gun as long as you're over the age of 30? Because the majority of these shootings are happening, it's young people are the ones that are doing it.
The answer is yes, they could. I mean, constitutionally speaking, you know, we're talking about a right to keep and bear arms. And if you look at the type of arms they were talking about when the United States Constitution was drafted, it certainly didn't include assault weapons or these high-powered guns, which, as you say, there's only one reason somebody has it, and that's to kill lots of people very quickly. So, yes, there is scope to constitutionally regulate gun ownership. And you're right. The right to arms is not going to go away. People will always have guns to defend their homes, their property. Hunting is another big pastime in the United States. But you don't need the type of guns that are used to carry out mass shootings. You don't need those to do any of those things. And constitutionally, they absolutely can regulate the type of gun you're able to purchase. They can have background checks. They can have waiting periods. All of that stuff is constitutionally permissible, but it's not politically doable, unfortunately.
I seen a tweet last night, and I don't know how true it is because there's a lot of misinformation out there with regards to, you know, Twitter and social media, but somebody mentioned that more people have been killed in America in mass shootings in the last 20 years than have been killed in Iraq. Is that possible? Well, when I look at this, 27 school shootings in the US in 2022, that's only in a six-month period, and over 140 are dead, and God knows how many are injured, and I have a list of them all here, you know, from Buffalo, New York, California, Houston, Milwaukee. No state seems to be really safe, although most of the states, it seems to be quite prevalent in some states. But is that actually true, that more people have died in American mass shootings in the last 20 years than died in Iraq?
I haven't seen that stat. I'd like to see it verified, but it wouldn't hugely surprise me. I mean, the reality is gun deaths happen in the United States constantly, every single day. And the sad thing is we're so sort of, immunized to them now in a sense that unless it's a really horrific incident such as this one, the shooting dead of two or three people barely even makes the news because it is so commonplace. And, you know, again, there are politicians who think that that is a price worth paying so that anybody who wants one can go get a high-powered gun. That mindset, I'm afraid, is sick. That's the only way you can describe it. And it's a consequence of the political culture in the United States, and indeed the role of money in American politics, so that so many politicians are sponsored effectively by the NRA, which then demands 100% fidelity to its dogma, which is no gun control restrictions of any kind ever.
I mean, would it be political suicide for Joe Biden to go a hell for leather on this? I don't believe he's going to. Maybe Kamala may, but I don't believe he's going to, because I get the impression he's not too interested in this presidency. That's just my own personal view on it. But do you think that would be political suicide for him to get involved in this and go against the NRA?
I wouldn't go so far as to call it political suicide. However, and you know, and this is what Democratic strategists will be watching, is that in some of the tight-run congressional districts, don't forget, I mean, we're in a midterm election year. It's likely to be bad for Democrats anyway. In some hard-fought congressional districts, Democrats who take a hardline stance on gun control, that's not a very favorable position for them. So, you know, it could have damaging consequences. Political suicide, I think, is probably overstating the case. But, you know, look, is it likely that he's going to go hell for leather? I'm not so sure about that. You know, and again, what happens here inevitably now is that an incident happens, memories fade, we go back to the status quo, people vote the way they do, and are
sad,
on,
isn't
on
it? Yeah, it's so sad that tomorrow's another day, so to speak. And it is really sad to think that we can just forget about, as we did the 29 children who died in Sandy Hook, we can forget about these 19 children who have died and two adults as well. We can just forget about them again tomorrow or next week. They'll be just forgotten, like the individuals who were shot in the supermarket going back 2 weeks ago. We've already nearly forgotten about that as well. And it is sad, and nothing will be done about it.
If that
was Ireland or any other country, mind you, it won't be because we don't have those gun laws. But although we do have quite a lot of guns in this country, but most are regulated, well regulated. But if that was Ireland, I mean, something would be done about it. If it was any other country, something would be done about it. But not in America.
Absolutely not. I mean, we only have to look next door. There was a mass shooting carried out in Scotland a number of years ago, and the legislature there immediately stepped in, banned the type of weapon that was used, and there's been no mass shooting since.
It was in Dunblane, that's right.
Yeah, so that's the answer. The answer to these things is make guns harder for people to access. But again, because of a lack of political will in the United States, that just isn't going to happen. And look, I push back on a lot of people over here who I think unduly critical or stereotype Americans. I have a problem with that. But on the gun issue, they absolutely have a point. When it comes to guns, America is broken.
Mm. Well, I appreciate you coming on the air, and thank you very much indeed for talking to us. Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at NUI Galway and political columnist at thejournal.ie. You can only imagine what the feeling is like in this small little city of Uvalde, which is about 80 miles, by the way, west of San Antonio. And this elementary school, an elementary school, by the way, for Irish people who don't understand what that means, is a primary school. It's Robb Elementary School, and it's a small little school. The school teacher is in her 40s, 44 years of age, Ava Morales. She's dead. She was shot along with 19 children. And one can only imagine what that must be like. But to give us a bit more information is Chris Cruz, who's producer of Blaze Media, and he's from Dallas in Texas. Good afternoon to you. Good morning to you, Chris, I should probably say.
Good morning, Niall. Thank you for having me.
I don't know what the sense or how people are feeling. There was only a shooting, of course, 2 weeks ago in America. That was, of course, motivated racially. There doesn't seem to be any motivation behind this shooting at all, apart from somebody with a serious mental health problem, obviously. What is the feeling at the moment in this? I suppose it is a reasonably small town, mainly majority Hispanic, I believe.
Yes, mainly Hispanic, and it's very interesting because right now the feeling is very that our government has failed us. It doesn't matter who is in power, but the one thing I'm noticing, a lot of people are kind of like putting politics to a side of kind of like the gun control rhetoric, mm-hmm. but to the point where like, okay, what is the government going to do to better get a hold of this mental health crisis that is happening in the young men here in America? We've noticed a lot of young men just getting completely lost in this online rhetoric of, you know, supremacy and people being better than each other. So a lot of people are asking the question of what is the government going to do other than the typical talking points from a Republican side and a Democrat side.
I mean, this is the 27th school shooting this year, and we're only halfway through the year. Now, of course, this is the second worst school shooting in American history, next to Sandy Hook. And I can't imagine what it must be like for parents, as I mentioned earlier on to Larry Donnelly, who we're talking about, who's an American attorney. And I can't imagine what it would be like to get a phone call from a principal of a school to say that your child is one of 19 that has been shot dead. I mean, young children, of course. I mean, and this is becoming a regular occurrence. I think people would always be afraid to send their children to school in America now.
Yeah, and it's, I heard of a story of one of the fourth graders that was killed. His name is Xavier Lopez. He was 10 years old. His mom was attending that day. His award ceremony an hour before the school shooting, and he passed away. He was killed at the elementary school. So I received a bunch of videos from parents that are still now waiting to hear back to see if their child is either in San Antonio or if the child is dead at the elementary school. So they're asking parents to submit DNA samples to see which, you know, what category they are. But even to today, still parents are waiting in the parking lot. And the videos that I received from reporters is you can hear the screams at the parking lot of parents finding out that sadly, their kid was killed in this horrific act.
Because you're going there, and I don't know how many kids are in the... It's a small school. I've seen pictures, images of the building, and it's a small school. I don't know how many it holds, maybe 100 kids or so. So you're going hoping your child is not one of those 19 kids. And the odds are your child is going to be one of those 19 because it's obviously the odds are quite high because it's a small school. So that must be a terrible situation to walk into that, wondering if one of them is your children. And not only that, I don't know how many were injured. How many more were injured? Are you aware of many are injured as well?
So right now we have, to my understanding, it was the update as of 7:40 p.m. Eastern time. There was 18 students and three teachers, and the suspect were pronounced dead. The injured, last time we checked, it was about 40.
Wow.
But injuries, that, you know, that could be people getting trampled. That could be people, you know...
Who just
confused.
Fell on the way out the door running. Yes, of course, of course.
Exactly.
But so some of those could be life-changing, you know, injuries too as well. They could have been shot too, so...
Exactly. So, it could, you know, the injury doesn't say, you know, what kind of injuries, but I believe it was, last time we checked, it was about 40. But we don't know what this sense of injuries is. It could be trampled, it could be shot, it could be ricochet, it could be, you know, passed out and the police just took him. But one thing that changed overnight was that the grandmother that believed that was shot and died of the shooter, she's still alive.
That's right. I believe she is still alive. Oh my God, I can't imagine how she must feel, by the way. She probably feels like she'd be better off or died.
Yeah, and our border agents, that's why they're saying that it all started with that, where the shooter killed, at that point they thought the grandma was dead, but shot the grandma, went to social media on Instagram, contacted a random person on Instagram and basically told that person what he was going to do and then went and acted on it.
And what do we know about Salvador Ramos, apart from the fact, obviously, first responders? Or was he shot by first responders, or did he take his own life, by the way?
He was shot, according to the reports this morning, he was shot by Border Patrol agents.
Okay.
So as soon as the active shooting started at the elementary school, this Border Patrol just went right through, and with no backup, he went in and shot the shooter.
What do we know about him? Has he presented in the past with mental health problems, or has he come to the attention of the FBI or anybody in the past?
The only thing that we cannot confirm, but it was brought up a lot, was that this could have been a illegal crossing from Mexico, mm-hmm. that they were trying to do a warrant for. But this is just nothing confirmed. This is just people reporters trying to put the mask, because I believe the town is about 80 to 60 miles
okay.
from the border.
Yeah.
So they believe that this was a illegal crossing over, and then this happened. But nothing confirmed by the local law enforcement or CPS or the border agents.
All right, well, look, it is a horrific and tragic story. Again, as somebody mentioned earlier on to us, you know, Joe Biden has called for a conversation, you know, people to stand up to the gun makers and lobbyists who prevent what they call common sense gun laws. But like every other president and every other lawmaker, this will be just forgotten about in a week's time, sadly, and it'll happen again.
Absolutely. And that's what that's one thing that a lot of Americans, I'm noticing, especially on social media, that a lot of Americans are tired of the talking points, and it's time to either, if you're going to do the gun control laws, then go ahead and do it, or if we're going to focus on mental health and actually on the hearts of mind of people, then it's time to do that too.
Well, listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on the air to talk to us. Chris Cruz, who's producer of Blaze Media in Dallas, Texas.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic.